jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the final Supercoach Coach podcast of the 2013 season. Well done. Well done, Mark. I think we deserve a bit of a clap because 36 episodes, that marks the most episodes we've ever done in a season. So I think it's good to get to the finish line and get charged up and re-energize for next year. But good effort, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, mate. It's good to have an excuse to talk to you every week, mate. It was a weird feeling on Monday. I woke up and the Essendon drug saga is kind of mostly behind us and Supercoach was finished. The weather was warmer and it was a really strange feeling of freedom, I guess.
We're free, Mark, and no more, you know, just tied to our phones on the weekend thanks to this rolling lockout. That's something I'm glad to be done with.
I think I'm going to have to talk to my wife again there.
Oh, yeah, and look for other things to do. Look for another hobby.
Hi, babe, I know you're listening.
Or just go into summer hibernation, maybe. But anyway, let's get on to how we went and all that jazz. But just before we do, we're going to have to give a shout-out to the winner of 2013 Supercoach season, and he was on the show last week. Well done, John. You pulled it
home. Well done, man. Yeah. Awesome effort. Seems like a really nice guy. I think he had a bit of a sweat. He had Malcheski and Buddy on the Friday night who both scored below expectations. And he did lose a fair bit of points on the weekend. But luckily, his lead was big enough that, like we said last week when we were talking to him, it was pretty unlikely that he was going to lose. And something pretty bad would have to have happened. But yeah, it would have been a bit stressful for him. But congratulations. Excellent effort.
Harold Sun said today that he ran out of trays round 19, Mark, earlier than I did.
Well, it does seem to be a bit of a trend that the winners are running out of trades a bit early. I think in the past they've actually run out a little bit earlier than that. And you really need to get a lot of luck in those last few weeks because Hartlett, Heppel, lots of players went down in the last few weeks.
Mark.
Survive without those trades. Very well done.
I reckon we've got to get the caused effect right a bit too, because he did get a little bit lucky. We shouldn't say the winner always wins because he went risky. A lot of people went risky and didn't win, and he ran out of trades round 19. And looking at his team against the other teams in round 19 without any trades, I think he was a very clear underdog in that situation. So to pull ahead, not to say he didn't do an excellent effort, but I think we get caught up a lot, Mark, don't we? And you have to be risky to do it. But I think we've seen just how much luck it took as well for him to come away with the win. So
it's an interesting conversation. I've had this with Dunny, who's been on the show recently, and Hawker, who's been on the show in the past as well, where when you're in the top 100 or whatever, or even at the start, are you just going all out? Even if it means you finish 30,000th or you drop out of the top 100, or are you just going to try and win your leagues and finish top 20 because that's a great bragging rights? I know there's a bit of difference in philosophy between some of the coaches, and this was probably one season where you went all out, mate.
First time I'd ever done it, and I think in hindsight, you know, rewarded because I was crapping myself. You were pretty confident with those four when I was...
Oh, with six rounds to go, I had like four extra trades or something. I thought I've definitely got you, but just didn't happen.
And I know how that feels to be on that side. And to be honest, the first time I was on this side of the wall, I thought, no way, you're going to catch me. But I don't know. I think it sort of pays off to just go hard. And
the funny thing is, though, that like just saying what luck is involved, like I had those extra trades and I actually made decent use of them. Like, I brought Minson in with a couple of weeks to go and he scored me 300 points in two games. But like I would have just finished way, way worse if I hadn't have actually had those trades. So because I did get hit by all the injuries. So I think that decent amount of luck involved and that your team probably just held together maybe a little bit better than you'd expected.
The final rank for the year, Mark, 113th.
What? Excellent effort, man.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thanks, buddy.
Is that your highest rank before?
I think so. I think last year I slipped down to 160. So, yeah, that's
twice in the top 200 in a row. That's a decent effort.
Yeah, and fourth year in the row in the top 500 now. So I'm super pumped. You at least have consistent advice on here if you come back next year. And Mark, you smashed it out too, didn't you?
208th in the end. I did get up to about 115 at one point, and I thought, top 50 was well within my sights, and I was just heading for it. I had trades left, my team looked great, and then things just really fell apart, a bit like they did for the Bombers towards the end of the year. So I guess to hold on to 208th was a pretty good result. I scored 25-95 in the last week, so pretty decent week. I only won one of my grand finals, though, out of four with that score. Warney in the best SC site, he scored 2,700 and he had a donut. So not much I could really do about that one. I did win the second-ranked league overall, so that was a pretty good effort by me. It's the third time in 4 years that I've won that league, putting you guys from the Supercoach Coach Aces to shame.
Well done, mate. That's amazing consistency. I really don't know how you do it each year, because there's a lot of quality coaches, but you pull it out every year.
And I was going for back-to-back in best SC side as well, which finished fourth-ranked overall. So I would have been pretty stoked with back-to-back there, but... back-to-back grand finals and put us up in the grand final, which was well-deserved. And Warney finished top 50. He had a great year, so deserved winner.
Yep. And let's also mention that John, the winner of Supercoach, also won our Supercoach group. So he will be receiving $1,000 from us as his
cash. He does not need any extra money.
No. And that's, I think, we're going to errata the rules next year. And that is... $1,000 goes to the winner of our cash group, unless you win. Then it goes to the second place, because I think that makes a pretty nice consolation. So we'll arrive at that for next year. I'm sorry. Who came second this year, Mark?
Sure, man.
Maybe we shouldn't mention it. That's just heartbreak. But we're sorry for that. John, you take it away fairly and squarely this year. Congratulations to you. And remember, join us again next year. We'll definitely be running another cash competition to get our community into it and representing and being able to track each other. Was pretty good being able to see how we were all doing, because we had a pretty killer season as a whole, I think.
It was definitely a bit of extra incentive out there. And I guess there's a few long-time coaches from Supercoach Coach that finished top 50. Amber from Tomcats, who she got her $1,000 by winning a weekly. And we had Hellbent 21 and Moosey, who've been around for a really long time. Supercoach Advisor, who was riding for us earlier in the year, he finished top 10. Dunny, who's been on the show, 68th, I think. So definitely some really, really good results from some of the Supercoach Coach community.
Yeah, and our veterans group as well, Mark, we can't forget to mention them. Represented us very well in the top 20 leagues. Well done to our group again. Always doing a good job representing.
Yeah, five leagues in the top 20 overall by Supercoach Coach. Second league overall. Such a strange result. I think we lost by two or 300 points, but we were like 5,000 points ahead of third. It was just the top two leagues were just so close for the course of the whole season.
And two public leagues that they came 15th and 17th representing us in the top 20. So that's a huge effort. And looking at the top 20, I'd say that probably puts them in the top five public leagues, if not even less than that, because there are not many public leagues in that. So that's just a huge effort. Well done, guys. All right. I think that's enough of a wrap-up. Do we cover everything for rankings and scores?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So we're just going to do a bit of a mini review now, looking back at our seasons. And it's always good to have a rehash. Think about strategy potentially for next year. Anyone who bolted home late tends to be a pretty good indication of who will start strong next year as well. And a few guys that we may never want to touch again as well. So why don't we start with our most influential starting picks, Mark? Can be both good or bad. Who do you reckon shaped your season?
There's one player that just blows my mind that he was in my week one side, and that is Jack Watts. I mean, I remember going to, was it the round two? Or was I, really early on in the season, going and watching him play Essendon, and he was just so bad. I cannot believe that I'm that bad a supercoach that I actually picked him in my team. And Patrick Karnezis as well. Like, he hardly even played a game for the whole year. Michael Voss seemed to really screw him, so... Yeah, they were the two bad ones. Some good picks were picking up on Bartel and Dusty in the forward line. I think Dusty was a pretty obvious pick, but I know a lot of people weren't going with Bartel. I mean, to me, it seemed like a former premium midfielder available as a forward just seemed like a no-brainer. And the other player I want to say is Dangerfield. Pendlebury up there as well, but Danger after round four, I was in the let's trade him out boat, but I just couldn't find the right time or place to do it. And he was massive for the rest of the year until he sort of picked up that injury, and he was still decent after that. So I think he actually ended up being a pretty important pick.
He is the second best player in the league. He just is. So I think we've got to pick him again next year, I think, unless something bad goes wrong, because he might become the best player next year. Who knows?
And Ablett didn't dominate the competition until he played 100. Danger's now played 100. You would hope Adelaide improve next year. He can handle a tag and get away from it. Once they get Taylor Walker back, that he can play a bit more midfield. So, yeah, I think he'd be likely to be in my side next year.
I'd just like to say a whoop whoop on that one, because that was a big call. I was pretty hot on Danger. And
you were, man.
The first 4 weeks, I was shitting myself, but yeah, he's done real well. For me, Mark, some of the worst starting picks. I think a lot of us on the Supercoach Coach website and community, we all steered pretty clear from Buddy, because he seemed like a bit of a trap with his price and his suspension history and the start that Hawthorn had. And I got sucked in, didn't I, Mark? So that one hurt a little bit.
But you ditched him after like one round.
I traded him out after one round. That was a really good call and helped me shoot up the rankings for a few rounds until I thought it was fantastic to trade him back in round 9 for 440K, and that was one of the worst trades of my season. Other good starting picks. I think the forward line structure was just really strong. I was really happy with that. Starting Matt Jones was really good. Probably underrated in terms of scoring potential and just pushed out the points, even though Melbourne was really struggling and he was one of the few performers. He was important. The rest of all pretty obvious, Goodsy and stuff. I had a pretty cookie-cutter team. So on to best and worst trades, Mark.
Best trades was, we'll probably share this one, and that is Matty Cruiser, bringing him in, and he just had a sick run after we did that. That was really important before he got injured. And Swanee was really important for quite a while. We got him really cheap and scored really, really well. Enright was really good until the grand final as well. He was a surprisingly good pick.
Probably round 2 contained probably my best moves, most of my aggressive moves, and set up my season. So I corrected Franklin to Cruiser really aggressively. That allowed me to do Karnesis to Monfries. And Monfries was probably pretty important because he scored really well at the start and he set me up to do Monfries to Shaw. And I think that was a really good trade because a lot of people chose Hartlett instead at that point. Shaw had dropped a lot in price, and at that point, a lot of people had him out of their top 6 defenders, and he ended up just smashing it for the next, for the mid-season, and that was really important. I think round 5, again, was super important. I trade out Need really early for Mays, so, and not many people got Mays in, and I managed to sneak him into my team then. And also let me do Viney to Johnson round 5. So I really just set up my season at the start. I think those are pretty quality trades, and then I just continued to let it go. Mark, maybe you can start us off with your worst before I dive in.
Just on reflection, except for the rookies, my trading was horrible. There's not many trades that I got right here. Josh Kennedy's, both of them. Hartlett, when I brought him in, he had a really bad period after that. I brought Franklin in at round 4. I brought Leuenberger, and then he got injured again. Nick Nat didn't work out.
I think things change for you mid-season, though. I think you pick up some steam with your trades mid-season, don't you?
But even then, like, it's all that I'm getting right, looking at the trades, is rookies. I mean, Stevie J and Barlow didn't turn out too bad. Ibbotson, when I got him in, was actually a good time because he went on a bit of a run before failing late. But that round, I bought him Birchall as well. Yeah, no, just right throughout the whole season, it's just failure after failure, unfortunately. So I have no idea how I ranked so well. I think it was because I just generated so much money by nailing all the right rookies and with timing that I must have just been able to bring enough points into my team somehow. The two biggest fails for me are the first time, Paddy Ryder had the 140 against Fremantle, got suspended for 3 weeks, and I traded him to Buddy. That Ouch. Just ruined my season. Yeah. And then the
Lots
second
of people worst, did that too, didn't they, Mark?
Yeah. The second worst trade is I brought Ryder back later in the year, and he'd had like 500 to 110s in a row. He looked in great nick, and then Essendon just fell apart. And for the rest of the season, he's had 1 over 100 and like 5 or 6 70s. Cost me in the grand final. Just
before I get to my bad ones, I just have another good one. I have to mention it. I'm sorry, but I brought Joel Selwood in round 9. Just 540K. That was really good. All right, on to my worst trades. probably starts in round 7 when I go Stevens to Thomas. You got Thomas in too much, didn't you?
That's what I mean. If you go through my trades, they just did not work out very well at all.
Yeah, and then Thomas, I corrected after he got injured. I traded him to Franklin. That was, not great. And then I just screwed up throwing the buys. I brought in all the wrong options for the run home, targeted the wrong guys. So I brought in Nick Nat. That wasn't good. Brought in Birchall. That wasn't good. Brought in Josh Kennedy. That wasn't good. Hanley. That wasn't good. Ibbotson. That wasn't good. Yeah. So I just struggled pretty much from round 11 to 14. Made just irreparable trades that saw me plunge back down the ladder. So I think Nick Nat, in hindsight, was a really poor one because I decided I didn't want West Coast players. And then I just relented to his high scoring pressure, and I shouldn't have done that. I was just being weak on that one. And the other one's just, and I think Mark, this is one with, it's really hard to gauge because sometimes you get it right and you're just like, bang, that was so sweet. And when you get it wrong, like it feels awful. But then again, you took that risk because when you get it right, it's so sweet. But Birchall at 418 just never worked out. And Josh Kennedy really tapered off 45. You try and catch those premiums when they hit a little bit of a dip, Hamley 480, and you hope they go back up. But they just really didn't go back up for the rest of the season.
Key lessons from the year. I don't think that there was anything that really stood out this year that is different to the previous seasons. I mean, with the 30 trades, you could probably correct a little bit more. And listening to you and John speak last week, it seems that really going hard for those first 5 rounds was probably really important. Again, it's the getting those forward midfielders, the Rockliffe, Bartel, Dustin Martin sort of players into your side rather than the key forwards. Yeah. And value in the rucks. The one player that I really, really regret not having from the start was Goldstein. He was in everyone's team Christmas. First game of the NAB, didn't have a possession in the first half, and everyone jumped off. And yeah, really wish that I hadn't done that.
Yeah, well, the most common sense one was Louis and Goldstein, and I think Blitzarves and Curry. And that would have worked out just about as good as it gets, probably. Wouldn't have it. And probably no one, unless they were really gutsy, would have really followed that full strategy through. I think even the people that did enact that strategy in some sort brought Louis in or something like that, but nobody probably started exactly like that. And it's crazy that it turned out that way. And who else is on your blacklist, Mark? Who burnt you pretty bad?
Does Thomas go on the blacklist? Because he's done it 2 years in a row. That's got to be a high consideration. JPK, like, what the hell happened there?
He's on my blacklist. Never, ever again.
Got to be on the blacklist.
Yeah, done already. There's too many premium midfielders to take the risk with him again, I think. That's about it for me. I didn't really have anyone else that burnt me too bad. Or I think Nick Nat's just, he's been absolutely terrible for me. I think
if you put him on your blacklist, you will not win Supercoach.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that these players that hurt me, I'll probably want them back. So I can't just publicly hate on them. Except for Kennedy. I think we're safe because there's just so many awesome options in the midfield. So we don't need you, Kennedy.
Yeah, and like he's being overtaken by the tight likes of Hanbury and co. The season that Hanbury had was just fantastic. And I remember Michael, the winner from last year, came on one of our preseason shows and said he was taking Hanbury this year based on sort of end of last year and the grand final performance. And although Hanbury didn't dominate the scoring this year, I think it was a really inspired choice because Hanbury was tagged every single week except one after the Adelaide game where he had nearly 50 touches. Even when he was tagged, he was still posting decent scores and got a lot of time for young Dan Hanbury.
Onto our watch list for next year then. Who are you watching out for? Is it too early to say without the finals?
Yeah, it is too early to say, actually. I mean, it's a long preseason and you want to hear who's training well and who's coming back from injury. I guess the one player that stands out after his last quarter against Port on the weekend is Mark Murphy. He's obviously been really badly affected by his knee injury this year, and we knew that at the start of the year, and that's why very, very few people picked him. So if he can get his knee right, I think that Murphy will be underpriced and great value next year.
He used to be a favourite of yours, didn't he, Mark?
He did. Yeah. He definitely did. So
hopefully he can get back up there. He is the captain.
I've got an interesting question for you. Do you say Ablett's 680 at the start of next year? Do you start with him?
I think next year might be the first year to maybe not start with Ablett.
Well, there's going to be a first year that comes, whether it's next year, the year after.
I wasn't a big fan of his drop-off, and I think the Suns are going to improve like a crazy amount next year. The amount of improvement like just from second to third was already huge, and not that many players hit that third-year improvement. Most players are ready for league football really in their fourth year, and so next year we should see a lot more boys taking a lot more ball and a lot more time off Gary Ablett. I think before, when you're in a losing team, to be able to get that many possessions means that everybody's just like really not chipping in. So if you're still losing, but everybody else is starting to chip in, you start to struggle for the ball a little bit more. And I think that may have been what we started to see, but he could just be dropping off. We'll see in preseason 2014. It's probably a bit too early, I think, Mark.
Just trying to get an early prediction.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Don't know when it's going to happen. At the start of this year, a lot of people talked about not starting him, and I actually know some teams that they did quite well not starting out Gary Ablett, even though he just went on a sick run early on. I think that this year you couldn't not start him because their draw in the first 8 weeks was amazing. Yeah. That might not happen next year, given that they've finished a bit higher on the ladder. So, yeah, I think it'll be a toss-up next year. You might even be looking at, do I take Pendles or Ablett, that sort of question. And I'll probably lean to Pendles in that. I do like young Pendles. He goes around.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see too, Mark. Collingwood's midfield mix for the first time next year. You'd think Dane Swan's output continue to diminish a little bit. Steel side bottom and Dane Beams continue to take a little bit of the reins. And
A fit Dane Beams. Does he make people's teams? Is Daisy still there? There's lots of questions.
So it'll be interesting to see how their midfield breaks down next year.
Now, do you want to touch on Supercoach Finals? Just before we go for the year.
Maybe we should just introduce it a little bit for those of you who don't know that Supercoach are actually running a finals competition. Dream Team did it a few years ago. So those of you who played Dream Team finals then may remember a game like this. So basically you got 3.7 million. Is that right, Mark?
That's right.
You pick three defenders, four midfielders, a ruck, and three forwards throughout the...
It's 11 players in total.
You get unlimited trades, so you pick a new team every single week, essentially. And I think it's just for bragging rights and glory. I don't think there's any prize involved that right, Mark?
Not unless you create your own, so it's just leagues.
Yeah, so it's for pride and glory, but it's a little bit of fun, and we'll be playing a little bit of it. So if you feel like joining in on a league, head over to supercoachcoach.com.au, join in one of our leagues. So
we will post it on social media.
We're going to talk a little bit now about the picks then. I think Luke Hodgmark is someone that I really like. And this is what I love about Supercoach Finals is you get to pick a player like Luke Hodge because he's awesome and because there's no consequence about his price or anything. And I think he has a pretty good shot against Sydney this week because he was a little bit down last week and he's their captain. And they lost the grand final last year and he's just a finals player, and I reckon he'll kill it this week. Safe bet for at least a ton. And we should explain, Mark, price structure, 3.7 doesn't actually get you a lot because you don't get to have any rookies at the end of the year.
No, not at all. So I'm looking at most teams having, you sort of maybe three premiums, four premiums, and the rest are mid-prices. So yeah. It's those people that love the mid-prices are going to love this competition.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun game, and it also makes it a lot more interesting in the leagues because the teams are very varied, you'll find.
And they change every week, so you're not just drafting in the same players as everyone else. So.
All right, we're going to give you guys a little bit of a cheat sheet now, and that's if you want to pick a few players to make your team structure a lot easier. We'll give you a player to pick on each line that's just really cheap, and we'll get you to a premium much easier on another spot. So in the back line, Mark, I got a Geelong player for you. He was injured for a lot of the season. Crossed over from Melbourne, only 209,000, and that's Jared Rivers. We're playing against Frio this week. When their forward pressure is on, the balls will be flicking around the back line a little bit, and Rivers, hopefully, is one of the... players with less defensive responsibility. He's the third tall and
that's the thing at Geelong. Like in his previous teams, he would have been like the number one or two key defender, but you've got Taylor and Lonergan, and so he's not copying the best forward every week. So that gives him a little bit of freedom. Not going to score massive, but you'd hope for him to get sort of the 70, 80 mark, and at 209,000, that seems pretty good.
And maybe a little sneaky one, Mark. Nick Dygan.
I did see that. Yes. So cheap. If he gets a game, he was a late in for Scotland on the weekend, and I think he was He might have been a sub the week before against the Bombers. So a bit of risk involved, but very cheap and could go okay against the Tigers.
They won by 1 point. He came on in the third quarter as their sub and he got 10 posies. So that sounds pretty good to me. Hopefully,
but apparently Malthouse, not a massive fan.
Yeah, and his selection history probably suggests that. So look out. He could be a little sneaky one, but he'll probably be a sub, knowing Mickey Malthouse.
What about the midfield, man?
I struggled a little bit more for an absolute bargain there.
Well, I think the two Geelong boys probably stand out, Caddy and Barco. Neither of them are going to score massive. Both of them probably some chance of the vest, but also sort of cheap and should post sort of, again, you're looking, if you can get an 80 out of the cheap guys here, you're doing really well.
Yeah, Varko is one that I'm really hot on, and he's also available in
just
the
like
forward
line. Just like the preseason in the real stuff?
Yeah, but importantly, Mark, and if you saw on afl.com.au at the start of this week, September sizzlers and fizzlers, Varko is a sizzler! So he's plus 4.9 on average. That's the AFL ranking points, and his average during the smaller matches, as they put it, is 11.3, and in the big matches he performs at a rate of 16.2. So that's actually a huge percentage boost. That's like 40%. You perform statistically above your average. That's good news all for right, Travis Varko.
Nobody wants to hear you talk about Varko for any longer than that. In the forward line, is every team going to have Alan Dydak in it?
I think so. He's so didactic. And when will we ever be able to select Didac in fantasy teams ever again? It's kind of sad, isn't it? And sort of nice as well that we can pick him one last time.
Yeah, at that price and the fact that he played a full game on the weekend, if he gets another full game, you'd think that that's pretty good. And if you're looking for a cheap ruck, Brody Grundy, who's been in sensational form, 271K, not on the super cheap side. But has been playing really well and scoring decent, and coming up against Port's Rucks should have a decent game.
Mm-hmm. And Sandy too, Mark. He's only 266.
Sandy's cheaper than that?
Yeah. So maybe look.
Maybe the week after. Prices won't change for the course of the finals, so get to know the prices now. Now, one player that you like, a bit more of expensive, one primo that you think might do out.
I like Paul Chapman, Mark. He's not quite a premium, but he's been a premium all his life, so we might as well call him a premium. But he's only priced at 345, so that's a little extra as well, forward mid. We saw him come back as a sub, came on in the first quarter because of a concussion, came on in the fourth, just dominated in both quarters. And on the weekend again, notched out a ton. He's just such a great footballer, and he's born for finals. And he's, more importantly, playing for his playing career. So that is the type of player that you want to be playing for your club and for your teams, is when they're playing for their career, and especially with his pedigree.
My pick would be Brandon Ellis up back, 338K. Yeah. Priced like that because he was sub earlier in the year, been in great form. Fair chance that he gets like an Armfield player go to him, but that depends how Richmond set up. So decent pick, I reckon.
Well, I think that's it, Mark. Thanks again for an excellent season, mate. You've been a great partner on the show, and you've done fantastically well again, and keeping up the elites, the social media going, and just being a genuine all-round good guy, and you're juggling a job promotion well done, and new baby. So well done to come on, keep up this commitment. And I saw a comment, you know, Supercoach Coach doesn't quite get the fanfare that it deserves. And I know that's pumping ourselves up a little bit, but we are a small community and we have delivered great results. So I think we got something to be really proud of this year. And thank you to everyone, and especially thank you to you, Mark, for a great year.
Yeah, cheers, man. I think it's pretty clear you wouldn't have finished 115th if it wasn't for me.
Yep.
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 Yeah, and thanks everyone for listening. We wouldn't be doing the show if we didn't have people out there that actually cared what we had to say. Got a Supercoach Coach Finals League code if you're interested. 644826, 644826. I'll put it up on the social media. Supercoach Coach on Facebook, or at Supercoach Coach on Twitter, or at FB Donkey is me on Twitter.
Yeah, don't forget to keep track of us over the off season. We'll post the occasional big news story, and we'll be back with an all new game plan for 2014. We'll launch a new announce it all in the podcast coming to your ears soon. But in the meantime, enjoy the finals, enjoy the off season, and go Cats.
I wish I could say go Bombers.
See ya.
Yeah. Let's get crazy.